Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialised fiction written and read by Tansy Maynor Roberts. Our serial this month is Dead Queen Walking, and it's nearly finished. This is, in fact, the penultimate episode. If you'd like to read Dead Queen Walking on your e-reader of choice, the ebook will be uploaded for my Patreon subscribers first in November, possibly very, very soon. Sometimes I like to pop it up before the last episode comes out in the podcast, just to put you all into a quandary about how to experience the last chapter. And then it'll be available for general sale in late December. Stay tuned for more news about the Castle Charming Collected Edition in print coming in 2020. For those of you who still like books you can hold and put on shelves. Okay, Dead Queen Walking, Chapter 24. Last Queen Standing. It was not a pretty fight. Dennis had seen this sort of thing happen before, when a spar turned personal, then messy, then bloody. He'd never seen it between queens, but the principle was much the same. Ella had fury and human grit on her side. The summer queen fought like a human woman, all slaps and scratches, but every time Queen Ella got a blow in, the summer queen's face shadowed into something that was magic, alien, and awful. Dennis had spent the last few months hating Queen Ella. Now he only hoped she could hold her own against, well, Kai's other mother. It wasn't magic that brought Kai's memories back. It wasn't Camilla or his newly discovered brothers. It wasn't even Dennis, the man he loved, would always love, in every world. It was the sight of his mother, both of Kai's mothers, brawling like fishwives in the marketplace. A wave of shock and embarrassment hit him in the solar plexus. Reality unwove. Kai looked wildly around. His Majesty the King was a tree again, rooted into the throne dais. His arms had twisted into branches, and his mouth was frozen in a silent scream. Kai's other royal family members were watching the fight with a little too much enjoyment. Dennis was by his side. Two sets of memories, Kai said, trying the idea out on his tongue. His boyfriend's head whipped around, and his face softened. Thank the gods, he said. This Prince Camden thing was killing me. I'm him too, said Kai. It was a strange thing to have two versions of his life side by side, two different kinds of happiness. You remember me, though? Dennis asked. Kai reached out, took his hand, and brushed a kiss across his knuckles. I hope so. Otherwise Prince Camden has an extremely vivid imagination. His mother, foster mother, the only mother he had ever known, was here. Not a tree anymore, though roots trailed beneath her skirts. Wilhelmina Birch. She screamed in the face of Queen Ella and drew back her hand to strike with something that looked more like a branch than a human limb. Butterflies rose up out of her hair and skirts, filling the air around her with unnatural splashes of colour. Queen Ella rolled and took her out at the knees with a slash of her sword. Bright red rose petals bled across the floor like pools of ink. How's your magic? Dennis asked in a low voice. I don't know, Kai replied. He couldn't find it, couldn't feel it. Across the ballroom he saw Camilla, her arms bared in a ball gown, not a tattoo in sight. What happened to Zee? In the garden grotto, Jack stared at Fairy Jasmine, at the inhuman creature wearing Zee's face. I don't believe you're really gone, she said. It doesn't matter what you believe, said Jasmine, not Zee. Jack shrugged. I live in a fairy tale kingdom. We all learned from an early age that stories can screw you up. whether you believe in them or not. But believing in them makes a difference. Jasmine gave her a secret dancing smile, which hurt somehow far worse than the disdain. Why don't you wish it all better? Prince Chase was perfectly happy before his mother punched the stranger in the throat. He had a good life. He was content with what he had. A happy family. A fiancé who was a good sort and wouldn't bore him. No complaints. But something niggled at him as he stood watching his mother wrestling with a woman who was also half a tree. A small wrongness, like a loose thread in a tunic. The return of his old life hit him like a castle in the face. Jack had a plan. It wasn't a good plan, but it was hers. She dragged the protesting fairy Jasmine back to the castle by one skinny wrist. Zee, without her humanity, weighed about as much as a sandwich. "Sod off back to Fairyland if you're so bothered," Jack grunted, as Jasmine's complaints about being manhandled reached a particularly high pitch. As Jack made it to the door of the ballroom, Prince Chase was coming out of the splintered doorway looking frantic. When he saw her, he threw himself at her in the world's awkwardest hug. Their specialty, after all. "We weren't even friends," he complained loudly into her shoulder. "You didn't need me," said Jack, patting his back. She was lucky, she supposed, not to remember anything about this sugar-sweet reality Ziggy had built for them. She'd recognised it as fake from the second it began. "What kind of idiot would not need you?" Chase muttered, releasing her from the hug. He glared at the fairy. "She's not even that cute." "Watch it," Jack warned. "She's my person. If we fix things, you two are gonna have to be friends." "What exactly are you planning to fix?" Chase asked. "Everything," Jack replied. "Right, Petal?" Fairy Jasmine looked deeply offended. "I am extremely cute." Elle had already spent a lifetime fighting monsters. Here, in the home that was no longer hers, she thought to be free of that burden. But what else was she good for? Since her return, she had felt completely out of place in Castle Charming, until she had a chance to fight a beanstalk. And now she had a fairy queen to hack into pieces. The witch who stole her baby. The woman who conspired with her husband. Rose petals pooled at their feet. Branches fell with every swipe of her sword, but still the fairy queen, the summer queen, laughed in Elle's face and held her off. She couldn't do this alone. "Mother!" yelled a voice. Both queens whipped around, following the sound of Kai's voice. Her youngest son, her long-lost baby, all grown up. He wasn't looking at Elle. It was a delicate balance, holding two sets of memories in his head. Prince Camden, the version of himself that Kai could not help but think of as the real Prince Camden, was so free of anxieties. He walked through the world with confidence and privilege. He barely thought about consequences, social or otherwise. Kai kind of hated him, that other prince. The one who had everything going for him. What had he even done with his life? Played games, made friends, wore suits? This version of Charming didn't even have newspapers. He strode towards his foster mother, letting his frustrations and stresses uncoil from their hidden places inside him. "Mother," he said again, to the summer queen, the greatest liar that he had ever known. "Where is my magic?" "You left it in that other world," said Wilhelmina Birch with a laugh. "The one that was wished away? There's nothing more powerful than a wish." "I'm not so sure," said another voice. Corporal Jack strode into the ballroom with Chase at her side. She had her fingers locked around the wrist of a dazzling fairy, all sparkle and flower petals. Kai narrowed his eyes, looking again. Zee? She made a wish, said Jack savagely, and it didn't hold. Look at this mess. Around them, everyone was confused and muttering. The King of Charming remained rooted to the ground. Queen Ella wiped a trickle of blood from her mouth. Dennis, defiant, took Kai's hand again. Humans broke it, snarled the Summer Queen. Or your magic wasn't strong enough to magic such a big wish, Jack snapped back. You broke the contract, so take it back, all of it, and give Z back to us. The rules are the rules, said the Summer Queen. We grant wishes and we take our price. We know all about your price, said Queen Ella, blazing with fury. I was a child. I wanted a handsome prince to notice me, and you gave him to me as a gift and more, so much more than I had asked. I trusted you, and when I came to you one more time because my children were suffering from a magical curse, you promised to help me. We did help you, said the Summer Queen. We took your son. Without him, your daughter's magic stabilized. And who sent a spinning wheel at me? To steal decades from my life and my family, Queen Ella yelled. The Summer Queen smiled. Humans, so ungrateful. What will it take? Kai asked. Everyone stared at him. Dennis's hand clenched hard around his. What do you mean, dear? His foster mother asked. Kai had never seen her pretending to be nice before. She was always cutting and insulting to her employers. That was why they paid her so much money. Why had she kept up the pretense for so long? Playing governess, being a whole person, to raise him away from this kingdom. Why had she done it? What will it take for your fairies to agree to leave this kingdom alone? Kai asked. To fix the mess you made here, all of it. All the lives you destroyed. What price would you charge to grant that wish? Kai, no, Ella said. Finally, you start asking smart questions, said the Summer Queen. Camden, said Chase, in a shaking voice, if you try to sacrifice yourself right now, I will get Cyrus to beat the shit out of you. Good to know, said Kai, with a wavering smile. Cyrus stepped forward from the crowd. If she wants a sacrifice, she can take me. Not what I was hinting at, said Chase. We all know I'm the biggest screw-up in this family. I'm the one who can be spared. None of you can be spared, said Camilla. She stepped forward, and her bare arms blurred, as if her magic was fighting to find its way back to her. No one would even miss me. All of them exploded at each other. All at once. Are you kidding me right now? Stop being such a... Shut up! Queen Ella thundered. Everyone stopped arguing and stared at her. She met Kai's gaze with an uncharacteristically gentle expression. No sacrifices today, she said. We're not going to do that anymore. Thank you, said Kai in relief. I thought we were going to have to spray them with cold water. All three of his siblings gave him identically unimpressed expressions. It was pretty great. Kai stepped forward, facing off against his foster mother, the Summer Queen. My sister turned you into a tree, he said. And before that, you avoided this kingdom for, what, 16 years or so while you were raising me? Far from here. Sure, you had your fairies causing trouble, but... You don't seem that keen on this place. Why is that? The Summer Queen smiled a chilly smile. It's a fairy tale kingdom, she said. So many stories. So many happy endings. Fairies don't do well in places like this. Once you've all heard the stories about the cold iron and the curse-breaking kisses and the salt... Things get a little uncomfortable for us. Fine, said Kai. Sounds good. Find somewhere else to torment people who aren't as diligent with bedtime stories. Still smiling, she shook her head. What do you want? He asked of her, frustrated beyond all belief. What more could they possibly give? You wrecked our family. You turned love and loyalty into miserable fairy magic. You've taken your price. You haven't even started paying for it, she said back. What do you want? He asked again. The Summer Queen said nothing. Fairy tales were all about rules and codes and messages. The rule of three was a standard trope. What do you want? Kai asked for the third time. The Summer Queen huffed out a sigh. The Winter Hag owed me her magic. She promised it to me. And instead, when she was dying, she gave her gift to a princess instead, a stupid baby without the strength to keep it safe. I have worked for decades to get back what she promised me. Camilla made a small sound. My magic. Ours, she added with a quick look at Kai. Is that all you want? My mother would have given it to you the second she learned that I had it. Your mother couldn't give it to me, snapped the Summer Queen. Only you can give it away. Oh, said Kai, feeling unsteady. That's why you bothered with me? You made me love you, made me trust you, so that someday, when Camilla gave me half her magic, I'd give you mine. It's too late, broke in Camilla. Whatever happened with that last wish, whatever happened when the world changed, my magic is gone. Kai shook his head. She can bring back the old reality any time she wants. She can undo Ziyi's wish, but she won't. Not until she's sure that I'll give the magic to her. You only have half, said Camilla. We both have to give it to her, but if we promise... No, said Ella and Kai sharply at the same time. No more wishes, no more promises, Queen Ella continued. No more putting any power into the hands of fairies. It stops here. Kai raised his eyebrows at the Summer Queen. Mother knows best. Put the world back first, and then you get to find out if we have a scrap of gratitude left. It's your only chance. We won't let you win, but maybe, if you choose kindness, no one has to lose today. The world blurred. The wish unraveled. Reality shifted under their feet. For a moment, Kai felt his magic rushing back, and Camilla's with it. It would have been the easiest thing in the world to let it fall back into his skin. Instead, he did something else. Kai kept smiling at his former foster mother. Slowly, he pushed up the sleeves of his shirt to show that his arms were bare. Where is it? She shrieked at him. All that magic! Where is it? I'd like to know that too, said Camilla, staring at her own bare arms. I can't feel it. Where did it go? I made a wish, said Kai. What? Camilla said furiously. What kind of wish? It doesn't count if you don't say it out loud, snapped the Summer Queen. My mistake, said Kai. Seems to have worked, though. The magic is safe and snug. My sister isn't holding it. Neither am I. I guess that means it's fair game to whoever gets there first. Where is it? Demanded the Summer Queen. Not his mother. Never, as it turned out, his mother. This is the world it was before that wish, right? Kai asked her, to be certain. The one with the newspapers, obsessed with Chase and Cyrus getting into trouble? The one where my mother slept for 16 years fighting monsters? The one with pumpkin coaches and war veterans and two different generations of Midnight Princess? The one from just before Ziyi made the wish? He could see green fronds covering the windows, but otherwise the ballroom looked much the same. "Yes," the Summer Queen said, impatiently. "Where is my magic?" Kai leaned in and whispered something in her ear. She gave a triumphant scream and disappeared. Zee breathed for the first time in days, weeks, years. She was... Her heart beat again. Her stomach growled with hunger. Her wrist hurt where Jack was hanging on to it. Her mouth no longer tasted like sugar and funeral flowers. "Jack," she breathed, "I'm... me." Jack swung around and stared at her for a moment, then dropped her wrist like it was burning. "Zee, you're... Zee again." Zee swallowed. Her throat hurt a little. She could hear something like a scream in the back of her thoughts, but did not know why. "Is everyone okay?" She gasped as Jack hugged the breath out of her all of a sudden. "Oh, I've been doing that a lot lately," Jack breathed in her shoulder. "Zee, I'm sorry," said Zee. "I didn't really think before I..." Jack kissed her, and she completely forgot what she was going to say next. "What did you do?" Dennis demanded of Kai. "Tell you in a minute," said his infuriating boyfriend. Princess Zealin loped towards them and swung an arm around each of their shoulders. Dennis couldn't even find it in him to be irritated. "That's new," Zealin noticed, nodding across the room to where his sister Z, no longer a fairy, was making out fiercely with Corporal Jack. "Not as new as you'd think," said Dennis. He blinked. "Speaking of new..." There was a group of strangers standing at the edge of the ballroom. A small woman with dark hair and bright eyes. An older version of her, perhaps a brother, with long hair falling in his face. A tall, dark soldier behind them. No, that one wasn't a stranger. That was Saladin Tay, Sarge's old friend. "Oh," said Dennis slowly, figuring things out. "Yeah," said Kai. "I guess so." "I don't get it," said Zed. Sarge burst in through the doorway, looking wild. Back in his civilian clothes, not the hound uniform from the other reality. "What the hell is going on around here?" he demanded, then stopped with a broken look on his face. "My friend," said Saladin Tay, holding out his arms in greeting. "It's been a long time." The woman threw herself at Sarge, murmuring words into his chest. The dark-haired man hung back, looking embarrassed, but Sarge pulled him into the hug too. He looked delighted and annoyed and confused all at once. "That one was Master Foxglove," Kai said in an undertone. "And the woman, that was Miss Clover. They all came back. They're human." "So what?" said Dennis. "Are you saying that wasn't part of your grand plan?" Kai looked bashful. "I didn't have a grand plan. I had a last-minute improvisation, which worked out surprisingly well." "Speaking of which," said his twin sister, glaring, "where is my magic? If you let that summer witch mother of yours get her hands on it..." "I don't think she'll get near it," said Kai. When we were coming back, I had a thought. Redirected it somewhere safe." "How safe?" Camilla demanded. "A really safe place for magic that's used to being ink. In a building with lots and lots of iron to keep the fairies away," said Kai. Amira, had she even existed in that other reality? Stepped out of a crowd of beautifully dressed but confused gala guests and smacked Kai around the head. "You didn't," she said. "Ow," he said mildly. "I'm a prince now. Behave yourself." "Kai," said Amira, "tell me you didn't send a furious fairy queen and all your magic to the local newspaper office. We'll never hear the end of it." Only three of them went in the end. Kai and Camilla, accompanied by Queen Ella. Amira refused to join them, claiming she wanted deniability when the press corps started asking difficult questions. Chase and Cyrus stayed behind to give dutiful farewells to the upset guests of the most eventful and confusing birthday gala ever held in the Kingdom of Charming. The Royal Hounds stayed behind also, agreeing that anything dangerous that crossed Queen Ella's path today was going to regret it, with or without their assistance. It was a nice walk down to the town, even if Elle insisted on carrying her sword bared. "She turned the fairies human," said Camilla thoughtfully. "Something must have happened to make her do that. She wouldn't do it to be nice." "Nice was never Mother's strong point," Kai agreed. He was going to have to stop calling her that. He'd half expected to find the office of the Charming Herald in flames, or overgrown with beanstalks and roses. Some sign of damage caused by the Summer Queen of the Fairies in her fury. Maybe she'd got hold of the magic after all. Maybe he had made the worst mistake of his life. "So you used to work here," said Camilla, pushing open the door to the office. "Seems small." "You live in a castle," said Kai. "Your perspective isn't normal." Camilla shivered as they crossed the threshold. "It's here, our magic. Partly, at least, I can smell it, mixed in with all the ink." "Oh, so you haven't armed a dangerous, vengeful, supernatural creature with an outrageous amount of magic that she's been scheming to get hold of for 16 years, said Queen Ella. "Good to know. Save something for your birthday party." The building was deserted. No reporters making up gossip. No editors inventing irresponsible headlines. No monochromists sniffing chemicals. Somewhere deep in the building of the Charming Herald, there was a swishing sound. "Sounds like the presses are running," said Kai. "Come on, let me show you. This part is pretty cool." He opened the door and felt the magic, his magic, Camilla's magic, warm, hungry, and waiting for them to take it back. "Yep," said Camilla with a snort. "Pretty cool. That's so normal of you, normal expert with a normal perspective on normality." Queen Ella looked at the loops of paper running through the iron mechanism of the printer. "Oh," she said, lost for words. "Oh, Kai." Kai stared and took a deep breath. "What do you mean she was printed?" Dennis asked some time later. "I mean," said Kai, "sending her there into all that iron and the magic and the printing press, it did something, trapped her, like a monochrome print. Or rather, like old stories of what people thought monochromes did. All that soul-stealing sort of thing." "She's printed," Dennis repeated. "A stack of 48 newspapers, each containing an image of, well, the Summer Queen of the Fairies. It's not a flattering picture either." "I'm trying to feel bad about this," Dennis said after a moment of contemplation. "I mean, she was your mother." "Yep." Kai had mixed feelings. Very mixed feelings. "What did you do with the newspapers?" "Iron chest, locked with several keys, deep in the cellars of the newspaper office, surrounded by metal and more metal." "So I guess that won't come back to bite us for at least a decade?" "At least. Maybe our kids can handle it." Kai did not mention that Camilla had burst into horrified laughter for at least 5 minutes, or that Queen Ella had to be dissuaded from impaling the entire stack of newspapers with her sword. "And you have this back?" Dennis ran his fingers over the black tattoo of a castle wall on Kai's arm. His skin was warm to the touch, just this side of feverish. "Nice." "I have a few," said Kai, "including some new ones." Dennis grinned. "I'll look for them later." "We put most of the magic into the walls of the tower," I told him. Working up to taking it back ourselves, a bit at a time. Camilla's putting a lot of it into her current project of de-treeing our father. Probably for the best. Kai leaned his head on Dennis's shoulder, enjoying the calmness of having him nearby, of the world making sense again. How was your day? Yeah, could have been worse. I think your mother only slightly hates me now. Score. I know, right? Also, Jack was so busy making out with Z's face, she completely missed Sarge being offered his old job back. Did he take it? No, enjoying his bar too much. Especially now he has his old mates to help out. Happy endings all around, then, said Kai. Dennis went tense under his touch. A moderately content ending would do for me. Kai kissed the side of his neck. Really? Moderately content? Slightly satisfactory. Mildly neutral? Or here's a novel idea. No endings at all. Let's start something instead. Yeah, Kai breathed, turning to kiss his boyfriend properly. Good plan. Let's start something. Thank you for listening to Sheep Might Fly. That was the last proper episode, chapter of Dead Queen Walking, but next week we do have an epilogue to finish up the series. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week.